And so he could hear. Anyway, if you can't hear or anything like that, please let us know. So I know you come to church so you can get the message. So just let us know if you cannot hear. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to look to you, Lord, and worship you. And Father, it may be that this weekend that Shirley will be receiving a new kidney. Oh, Lord, we pray for her health and well-being, for a successful operation, for the family supporting her, and for the physicians to do a good job. And thank you, Lord, for this kidney for her. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 37. Usually when I visit I don't really care for anybody to mention that I'm there, making a big deal about that or anything, but I would like to say, you know, for the visitors this morning, we're sure glad you're here. We're sure glad you're here. Thank you for coming, and welcome here at Fairhaven. Martin Luther King, his birthday was just behind us here. He had a dream speech, and he said, and so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold all these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day down in Alabama, with its vicious racist, with its governor having his words dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. Do you dream? What is your dream for your family? How big is your dream? How long will it extend? I was thinking this week as I wrote, what a comforting time while tucking in children for the night at the end of their day. But greater comfort is to be able to tuck them in safely for all eternity. Are your children ready to awaken in eternity? Why do I ask? What then if their eternity is not far away? Understanding the times describes what we are seeing as the unprecedented last day's activity. The characteristics, the stage setting for what is about to happen in the tribulation. The world is being prepared for the Antichrist with a strong delusion accomplished by Satan. Israel is now mostly isolated from every country of the world. Islam is viewed as peaceful. Climate change is more dangerous than jihadist. Israel's the enemy, but the Palestinians are the new heroes. ISIS is not Islam. And with so many refugees, Europe has passed the tipping point on the verge of obliteration. Time magazine, its last time article of the year, has four distinct horsemen, each a different color. And the concluding paragraph on page 8 reads, But none of these good news stories will help resolve the G0 dilemma. Only a global emergency on a scale greater than anything we've yet seen can accomplish that. The sort of crisis that forces a new level of global cooperation based on the world's true balance of power. It might be a war, a financial crisis, a public health threat, catastrophic terrorism, environmental disaster. Though that crisis is approaching, we're unlikely to get there in 2016. When it finally comes, it will be the biggest story of our time, December 28th, 2015. And so the Bible describes it right. Before the Lord takes control of the earth during the millennium, the devil unsuccessfully seeks for world domination during the Great Tribulation, as time describes a great global leadership to solve all of our problems. We are watching the events that will likely culminate the end of the age. But do not despair if you have read the book. Things are not falling apart. They are falling together. Have you prepared your children? Bible students have been preaching this for years. But if you've never prepared yourself to know, neither have you prepared your children. What a shame. Prepare for your finals. Read the Bible. You know, in prayer, we learn from those who went before us. We learn that we cannot do anything without God's help. We learn that we can do anything with God's help. We are not strong on our own, but God is strong enough for anything. Back in Martin Luther King's time, there was terrible oppression and injustice, especially in the Deep South. Proverbs 29:18 warns us that where there is no vision, the people perish. So we find here the dreams of Dr. Martin Luther King, very much in some ways like the inspired dreams of Joseph in the book of Genesis. But both dreams had purpose and were for the deliverance of the people. Joseph's points to God's redemptive power. Dr. King's was for the love and equality to deliver the oppressed. But where there is a dream of God, one day the dreamers may be gone, but the dream lives on. And here in Genesis chapter 37, verses 5 through 8, Joseph is from many brothers, but God chose him to be the dreamer. Genesis 37, 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren. They hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" They hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Joseph just told his dreams to his brothers. There's nothing of pride here. People are often accusing Joseph of great pride in telling them that, but actually, as you read the account of Joseph, there's a real distinctive life of humility and submission to God. He was not boasting in pride, as often accused. He just interpreted the dream, and he shared it with them. Joseph did not seek greatness here or question God's will, whether God's will would be fulfilled. And Dr. King was just the pastor of a small church in Alabama. He was not seeking greatness or to be prominent, but the civil rights movement fell into his lap. He never pursued the leadership, but the destiny of that was laid upon him in turbulent times. He just responded in a way that led to the changes that we see today. In chapter 37 here, in verse 23, it follows, "It came to pass that when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, there was no water in it. They sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. They brought Joseph into Egypt." You know, and Joseph had gotten up that morning. His father sent him to check on his brothers, and then he was taken, either to be killed or sold. Yet Joseph was a young man who believed in the Lord and the giver of dreams. Also, Dr. Martin Luther King's dream came at a great price. His faith was in the Lord, who laid upon him this dream as he called upon the nation to believe in that dream. At 17, Joseph's brothers took him and sold him into slavery to his cousins. That amounted to 13 years of slavery in prison, 7 years of feasting, and then the years that were really bad. So over 20 years, Joseph did not see his family before he was used of God to bring his family into safety and to become a nation. Well, Joseph was sold to Potiphar. Then he went to prison. Then there was the butler and the baker account. Finally, Pharaoh's dream. Then one day, Joseph's family arrived. 72 came in. But later, close to a million left Egypt. And so I just wonder, like, whose timeline or whose plan are we following? Because God's timeline is often longer than we expect. You know, we can lose hope in the midst of our dreams, but he will bring it to pass in his perfect time. Also, we see this in Jesus Christ, John chapter 10, verse 22 and following. Jesus Christ, who is rejected by his own. Jesus Christ, who's sent away as an outcast. John 10, 22, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. It was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. There came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. See, we see here that Jesus Christ is rejected by the very people whom he came to redeem and to be their Messiah. So verse 24, they're asking, How long are you going to keep us in suspense? Are you the Messiah or not? Jesus replies here, you don't understand because you've never believed. You're unwilling to believe. You'll never be in the Father's hand. We are in his grip, in the Father's hand, but they believe not because they're not of his fold. You know, we move toward our dreams as well. We know, you know, where we're at. And where we're at is no accident before God. Where we're at is part of God's plan for our lives as he leads us. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And so God, in his wonderful way, has purposed a plan for your life. Beautiful. In fact, he said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Before ever our mother's womb, God had a plan for your life. And so you see it here in Joseph as well. Dr. King, to follow God's plan. We ask ourselves, am I living up to God's plan for my life? Do I know God's plan? Have I dreamed the dream? We don't have a coat of many colors. But praise God, we are covered and cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ. Might I ask, who are the troublemakers? Is Joseph the real troublemaker? Is Dr. King a troublemaker? Is Jesus a troublemaker? The Quran has two views of people: the house of war and the house of peace. The house of peace being the Muslims, the house of war being everyone else. Now we're living in a world, you look back, invading armies had to provide their own transportation. Now we transport them to the front lines as refugees and immigrants. According to the report, Jan Markell, 75 to 80% are military-aged males. Only 20% come from Syria. Now listen for the word all. Pope Francis spoke on atheism, May 2013 homily. He said, "The Lord has redeemed all of us with the blood of Christ, all of us, not just Catholics, everyone. Father, the atheist, even the atheist, everyone. This blood makes us children of God of the first class. We're created children in the likeness of God. The blood of Christ has redeemed us all. We must meet one another doing good." "But I don't believe, Father. I'm an atheist." "But do good. We'll meet one another there." So the condemned soul, do not worry. Why bother with God? Atheists have redemption. Just do good. With no faith in God. It's kind of like the Joel Osteen of the evangelical Protestants. Many Catholics are very concerned about this. The Catholic News Agency on the Parliament of World Religions from the Vatican on January 6th. You can find this online, very short, easy to watch. Released a video of Pope Francis, and he says, the religions are so close that they're all one. Many think differently, feel differently, seeking God or meeting God in different ways. In this crowd, in this range of religions, there is only one certainty: that we have for all, we are all children of God. Many religions, different paths, meet the same God. In this brief video, there's video clips of various religious leaders expressing faith in their own deities. "I have confidence in Buddha," a female lama. "I believe in God," a rabbi. "I believe in Jesus Christ," a priest. "I believe in Allah," an Islamic leader. In fact, early in his papacy, this pope authorized for the Vatican to have Islamic prayers and readings from the Quran. That's first time ever. And so there's one primary title you have to understand for Allah as the merciful one. Allah is the merciful one. Now the people of the Pope at St. Patrick's Cathedral in Manhattan, very clear, Christians and Muslims have the same God. Here's how he began his address. I would like to express two sentiments for my Muslim brothers and sisters. Firstly, my greetings as they celebrate the Feast of Sacrifice. I have wished my greeting to be warmer. My sentiments of closeness in the face of tragedy, the tragedy that they suffered in Mecca. In this moment, I give assurances of my prayers. I unite myself with you all. Prayer to Almighty God, all merciful. Speaking of Allah. And then one address, I then greet and cordially thank you all, dear friends, and belonging to other religious traditions. First of all, to the Muslims who worship the one God, living in merciful Allah, and call upon him in prayer. Now, this, as you understand, is deeply offensive to Christians. Deeply offensive. Muslims define for themselves who they are. And they put the inscriptions on the Dome of the Rock. The sonship of Jesus and the Trinity are false. It says, it is not fitting that God should beget our Father a Son. And so we might ask then, how is having like no faith is saving faith? Or all religions different paths to the same God? It's working hard to lay the foundation for the one world religion to come. Or why a religion at all? If you're an atheist, you're redeemed. Whoever you are, whatever you believe, it's okay. And so by his own words, he completely abandons the uniqueness of the way of the cross. Whereas popes down through the centuries have said salvation is through the Catholic Church. It's not that atheists are redeemed. It's not that we're all the whole world's children of God. So, yes, Catholics, many are very concerned. Some are leaving. But there are some who this Pope does not like. Now, here's where it narrows down. According to recent National Catholic Reporter's Vatican correspondent, Joshua McAlwee, the Pope said, fundamentalism is a sickness that is in all religions. Fundamentalism simply is a form of a religion, especially Islam or Protestant Christianity, that upholds belief in a strict, literal interpretation of Scripture. Now he adds here, we Catholics have some and not some. Many who believe in the absolute truth go away dirty and with calumny and disinformation and doing evil. They do evil. I say this because it is my church. Then he confirms, we have to combat it. Religious fundamentalism is not religious because it lacks God. It is idolatry, like the idolatry of money. Friend, nearly 2,000 years ago, the Apostle John warned of a one-world religion accepting everybody as one. Christians and Muslims have the same exact God. That's setting the stage for the one-world system. Don't you see it emerging? Not just in religion, but in many ways. We're moving that way. You might wonder, like, who then is the great prophet, the great false prophet during the Great Tribulation period? Would that be an entertainer? America loves entertainers. No. It couldn't be an entertainer or a politician or a businessman. That does not fit. It has to be somebody very popular. A real leader in the world scene, religiously, one of the greatest religions of the world, unifying the faiths, speaking of equality and social justice. And so here we have this Jesuit Pope has won this one certainty, we're all the children of God. No wonder you know, Catholics are troubled by this, but what can they do? I mean, we're troubled too. We're troubled by a lot of things about Washington, D.C., but can you fix it? Can you change it? We are not in control. We look at this, we look at the future, we look at the changing events in history. We're speeding into the last day's scenes. How does that affect our dreams? Years ago, I thought, I've got immediate dreams. I've got short-range dreams, and I have long-range dreams. We have to have dreams. We have to have goals. What are your goals? Well, you should have long-range goals. But as you look at the world scene and you consider eternity, that does play an effect upon my long-range goal. I suggest you have a short-range goal. Be a student of the times. Where are we today? And have an immediate goal. Walk close with the Lord. Genesis chapter 37. You see this hatred, the jealousy. Verse 19, they saw Joseph far off. They said, here comes that dreamer. And they plotted to kill Joseph, ending up selling him into captivity. April 1963, Dr. King was in jail in Alabama for peacefully protesting for civil rights. Then he read a statement from 8 clergy ministers from Birmingham, white men who criticized him as being a troublemaker. Dr. King responded with his famous Birmingham jail letter, "An injustice anywhere is an injustice everywhere. You know, any dream that's worthwhile will face hard times, great trials. Most dreamers face hardships, often disappointments." So maybe Joseph, you know, wondered if his dream had failed or died when he's cast into the pit, or when the traitors carried him away. He's falsely accused of Potiphar's wife and thrown into prison. But God sustained Joseph in his dreams, and God blessed him as he went from the pit to the prison to the palace. God had a plan. Dr. Martin Luther King surely faced hardships to make him wonder. Fundamentalists may be hated, but we're dreamers. Well, don't be discouraged if your dream is not shared. It's not popular with some people. Dreamers are viewed many times as being dangerous people. Stick to the literal interpretation of scriptures. The great dreamers of the Bible faced hard times. Noah did. Ezekiel did. John the Baptist did. Jesus. They encountered hostility. So dreamers, they call us beyond our traditions. Like, what have you been doing? Get past that. They challenge our thinking. And they convict us. Are we settling for less than God's best? Some people, you wonder if they have any dreams. They're just so apathetic. They're just moving along. Every day is a new day. Every day is just cool. It's like they have no sights for eternity. Well, don't expect every dream neither to just come true in a short time. Sometimes dreams take a long time. Sometimes in dreams you have to wait. Job dreamed of a day when his trouble and pain would be over. But he had to wait. Well, we despair. Maybe not despair. We're troubled over the hardships of brothers and sisters in Christ especially. It bothers us deeply and we pray on. But we have to wait for the plan of God to be fulfilled. Finally, we ask God to satisfy his dreams through us. And, you know, God, will you show me your dream? As God reveals his dream, God sustains you in it. Praise the Lord. And he will satisfy his dream. But he will do it in his own time. My mom fervently prayed for my family, and she witnessed. There are believers, there are many unbelievers missing eternal life. But at my brother-in-law's funeral a week ago yesterday, I was able to preach to those relatives, those whom Mom had been praying for many years ago, who are still feeling the effect and the power of those prayers. I was able to preach to the whole crowd. Praise the Lord. Mom is gone, but her dream follows on. After Joseph's dream, the people were enslaved and persecuted in Egypt. God raised up another dreamer by the name of Moses as he set his people free. Sometimes dreamers die, dreams live on, but we pass a dream on to others. The founders of Fairhaven Baptist Church had a dream. Many of them are gone. They passed that dream on to us. Maybe one day we will pass that dream on to others. Well, God's dreams never die. Martin Luther King, the dreamer, was killed. His dream lives on. As you look across the face of America, not everybody shares that dream. But it's a good dream. Do you have a dream today? Watch God work it out in your life. God is still looking for dreamers. Dream for life. What's your dream for family? What's your dream about how it will be in eternity? To see people delivered. Marvin's funeral, I was able to say, the family wants me to preach a salvation message. I did all the way through. Marvin would have wanted that. I want that. But the reason is, we want to take as many people along as possible. And so, sometimes we get older and we say, you know what, my day of dreaming is past. I'm too old to dream. You're not too old to dream. God can use dreamers of any age. We all have dreams. Peter, in his sermon in Acts, said it's a new day has arrived at Pentecost. Changes were occurring. New things happening. New day dawning. And Peter said, the young and the old shall dream dreams. Jesus faced the injustices, but he was innocent. Jesus Christ gave his life for the guilty. Whereas often we're the guilty, fall into temptation. Whereas Joseph saw the opportunity for the pleasures of sin, and he ran from it. How often have we ran the wrong direction? We fail. But we thank God we have a high priest in heaven. We seek him and ask forgiveness, and he cleanses us through his precious blood to make us clean, acceptable, and redeemed as children of God. Did Dr. King and Joseph maybe have doubts when they were in jail? Perhaps, but they had faith that kept them moving. So when doubts and fears try to creep in, and don't they creep in this fearful age? And keep looking to God. Keep your dream alive. Keep your time with God much alive in the book and prayer. You'll not despair. And so here we learn valuable lessons from Dr. King and from Joseph. In fact, about forgiveness. Dr. King, in the midst of this heated oppression, still would cry out, I see the day when our black children play with those white children. We'll be regarded as one. There'll be peace. He preached the message of love. But they had reason to be terribly afraid. Joseph's brothers had reason to be terribly afraid. We find the lesson of forgiveness is Joseph looks upon them and said, But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God. It's one of those beautiful two words, but God, in the Bible. But God, hallelujah, now we got Israel today through them. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. And through them we have the genealogy of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So can we tell, you and I, those who harm us, you've been hurt. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. If that's our hearts, there will be less divorce. There will be less backbiting. There will be more peace. There will be the fruit of the Spirit. It's a beautiful thing as we respond to God and say, God, not my will, but yours. Not my word, but yours. Not my way, God, but your perfect direction for my life. Because God is all wise. Dr. King gave in his famous speech on our nation's capital to say, I have been to the mountaintop, and he was not afraid to die. He said, thank God Almighty. Thank God Almighty. So he saw in his dream that one day people would treat each other as equals, all nations, all races, all nations. Sing that old Negro spiritual, we shall overcome. We shall overcome. We learn a lot from people like that. What is God's dream for you? You can't control other people. All blacks fail. Whites fail. We just can't get over it. We love all races. We so much love the Indian people. We miss the Asian people of Hawaii, the ones that came to our house from the University of Utah. We miss the black people that have been in our congregations. We love the Spanish. Oh, if we could only have more friends like that. That's what's beautiful about heaven. Those from every tongue, tribe, and nation, there before the throne of God. And you got a church like that we did in Hawaii. That's a little bit of heaven. What is God's dream for you? Doesn't have to be something like that supernatural. Wow, supernatural. You find it in the book. What is God's dream for your life? Find it in the book. As Ron read this morning, the end of Matthew, the Great Commission. Jesus Christ is the most important dream. We can share the dream, share the faith, share the witness. How a dream can come true in the lives of the lost to experience his saving grace. Jesus Christ lived as a human flesh in 33 years, sentenced to die. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, redeeming us from our sin and the death sentence over our lives. So for those of us who believe, we have eternal life. Eternal life. Wow. What a dream. My friend. Seems like the death rattle of an age. So darkness is closing in. There are troubles in every level as you consider this world. Our hope is not in who is in the White House. Our confidence is who is in the Father's house. Keep your eye on eternity. And one day, it's like old Gabriel will lick his lips. Maybe now. And blast that trumpet. And friend, we're headed home. That's the dream. Hallelujah. God has rooted this dream in Scripture and placed it in our hearts. I hope it's alive in your heart today. Not simply to know the Lord. Oh, may you know the Lord. May you be one of those children in heaven. Sharing tracts, they often say, 1,000 years from now, we're going to be someplace. I want to see you there. I want to see you there. But then also to live out God's dream, God's special dream for your life and your heart. Will you follow the Lord? I just read in this Bible Irene gave me, faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, receives the impossible. Faith. Oh, friend, keep it alive. Father, we thank you that we are saved by faith. Then after coming to you and becoming a child of God, we are saved from destroying our lives, from wasting our lives. If we will keep the faith, if we will practice the book, if we will believe what you said, if we will turn from deception, turn from sin, like Joseph, flee from sin. May we flee from sin into the arms of the Savior to experience your cleansing blood. Thank you, Lord, for your power. Thank you, Lord, for permitting us to dream and leading us to dream, fulfilling so many dreams beyond our expectations. Beautiful things in our lives. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Step, look at the end of that. You'll find his arms open wide. He's already chosen us. He wants us to choose him. If you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. Receive him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart he'll abide. Time after time he has waited before, and now he is waiting again. Father, thank you so much for this Lord's Day. And we thank you, Lord, your arms are to receive us. Lord, we pray for each and every heart here. Before we walk out that door, that decision is going to be made to accept you as personal Savior. Accept the finished work of Christ on the cross, the blood that was shed for my sin. And Lord, that you might, at that point, walk with us until one day you bring us home. We ask it in Christ's precious name. Amen.